There it is. I'm waiting for that green light. Okay. All right, we're in Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 to 30. Started in on this last week. Just a little quick review, and then we'll look at the other half of this lesson. Journey into stress-free living, and this lesson number 8, making and keeping friends. You know, and I started out, do you have too many friends? You know, ever been lonely? You know, sometimes talk about, it's not that there's no people around. You can be lonely in a crowd, especially if you're in a big crowd and you don't know anybody, you know. We all need friends, and they don't just happen. It's something you got to work at. And a few little things I found and will share with you as we go along here. But I thought this is kind of a unique way of looking at it. You know, we pray for our friends. We want their needs to be met. Okay. Maybe it's, I didn't hear all the requests, but it sounds like storm in Florida, Jimmy's may or may not be affected, and so on. But it says, praying for friends. Most of our prayers have a two-sided motivation. One side seeks God's help for our friends, marriage, job, health. And the self-oriented side seeks relief from our worry or from the strain of carrying a friend's load. Okay, so we want them to benefit, but it also benefits us. We're not supposed to worry, but we do, right? We can stop worrying, okay? Paul felt both sides in his prayers for Epaphroditus. He wanted God to have mercy on his friend, and he wanted to be spared from grieving. Because, man, if he dies, you know, then he's really going to be affected. Pray likewise that God would help a friend or loved one, and as an added benefit, help us too. So we benefit as we pray for our friends, both for their sake and for our own. Again, Paul had people coming to him, Timothy, Epaphroditus, as he's there in a prison in Rome, and worth noting, you know, Timothy was the type of friend that would pretty much drop what he's doing and respond to Paul. Selfless service, you know, it wasn't what's in it for me or whatever, or you're going to owe me one. I mean, sometimes I jokingly say something like that, but it isn't like we're keeping track. Okay. He demonstrated what it meant to be a friend and went out on his own, sought to help meet the needs of Paul. And that's one of the things that, you know, we can demonstrate too, is showing concern for one another. I don't know how much time we'll have at the end here, but, you know, showing concern. Maybe it's a phone call. And, you know, for them, it was a long process. You know, it may take a month for a letter to get to where it wanted to go and then a month to get back. And so you're wondering how somebody's doing. It may take 2 months to find out. But showing concern. And then he says, too, that we need to be consistent if we're going to make and keep friends. We ought not to be like a light switch. We're either on or off, okay? Maybe not even a dimmer, you know? Sometimes we're a really good friend, it's turned up high, and sometimes we're not such a good friend, and we're turned way down low. But be consistent, be dependable. Somebody that people can rely on, and you're honest. Well, the people that are doing this may or may not have that much control over it, but shifting personalities. Sometimes you get people, you give them a call and you don't know which one you're going to get. They all go by the same name, but sometimes they're happy or sad or mad or glad, or you just don't know quite what you're going to get there. But we can still show concern, and, you know, we can be consistent whether they are or not, you know. It might be a bit frustrating at times dealing with sometimes people like that. Or maybe you're dealing with somebody that's just always down. I mean, you know, it's like you need a hydraulic jack to kind of lift them up again, you know. But like Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times, good, bad, and otherwise. It's not just when you're feeling up or they're feeling up. I mean, we're not always up, are we? Are you always flying high, just loving the world and everybody's loving you? No. Sometimes we're dragging bottom too, and we need somebody to kind of come alongside us, like the Holy Spirit, and to lift us up, to encourage us, you know. So I hear sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm doing okay. I don't need to be at church. Well, maybe you are doing fine. But maybe you should come and help encourage or lift somebody else that's there that's not doing so well, okay? Because one of these days that table might turn. You might be the one that's down in the dumps and kind of hoping somebody comes along as an encouragement to you. So we need to be consistent, okay? He mentions here, too, that, you know, many men don't have that, really don't have close friends or often don't have them. We're awful busy, you know, between work and family and other responsibilities. And but I don't know if we get an exemption for that. You know, it's not, okay, you're a guy. All right, well, we'll give you a little extra slack here. No. Jesus had close friends. We need them too. All right. And he says down there towards the bottom of 36, he says, I really need a good close friend. How do I get one? And then he goes on to say, by being one, like a friend of Timothy, practicing it. Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Okay? You can't just sit there like a lump. Okay? And wait for the rest of the world to come to you to try to be your friend. Okay? If you want to have friends, you got to stick a leg out. Trip somebody. No. Get some attention. No, you have to make the effort yourself. Okay? And if you don't, then really you have no right to complain, because what do they say in a marriage? And usually get our percentages wrong. Husband and wife, they need to both give what? Is it a 50-50? We're both into this half-hearted. No. It's 100% on both sides. Well, what if you got somebody that's just kind of 50-50? Yeah, well, you know, you're sitting in the corner waiting for somebody to come wait on me here. No, it's, you know, we both got to be participants in this thing, okay? And, okay, so we need to be concerned. We need to be consistent, and that brings us up to this point, new ground here, to be real, to be genuine. Have you come across people that, you know, they're faking it, you know, they're not real, they're not genuine, they're trying to be something else than other than what they are? Come across this little piece here. It says, totally human, Paul. He says, why should someone so strong in faith as Paul feel anxious? Remember, he was anxious about, he didn't know if he was going to live or die. You know, he didn't know what was going to happen yet. He was concerned about Epaphroditus. You know, the guy's sick, close to death. Well, what are you worrying about, Paul? Folks, Paul was like us. And he knew I wasn't supposed to worry, but sometimes he did too. Okay? It says, and why admit to it publicly? Paul's transparency concerning his feelings is a lesson in personal honesty to us, who tend to think that anxiety is a sign of spiritual weakness. Paul refused to hide behind any spiritual mask. Solid relationships and genuine prayer require this kind of honesty. Be encouraged to express your needs honestly and openly. Okay? There's nothing wrong with admitting, hey, I'm worried about this. I'm concerned about this. You know, it's like, okay, had tests done. I didn't. But had tests done today, got to wait a week to find out, you know, what the results are. And, you know, we're chewing our nails or whatever else people do, okay? There's nothing wrong with being open about it and asking other people to pray about it. Do you think God doesn't know? He knows what kind of shape we're in. And so he's not surprised and say, Lord, I'm worried about this. And he can say, I got this. And you say, yeah, I know. And 5 minutes later, we're back to square one again. Okay. But again, Paul was concerned about Epaphroditus. He got so sick that he almost died. And people back in Philippi heard about him being sick. They're worried about him. Epaphroditus, he's getting better, but he's worried about the people back home worrying about him. You know, do they know how I'm doing? You know, can't send a text to them or something. Just send out a letter and wait 60 days. He says there, Paul says, for indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also. Okay? Like I said, I was, you know, I'm praying for him to get better, but, you know, I realized what kind of a mess I'm going to be if he dies on me, you know? Now, again, Paul is, at one point in his life, had that gift of healing. He could touch people, and they would be healed. And as they mentioned here, even got to the point where they were handing out handkerchiefs or aprons. Some of you guys on TV still trying to do this. Okay? And those that were taken to the sick were healed. But it seems to be apparent that he no longer had that gift. These were temporary sign gifts. Okay? They got people's attention to help them to pay attention to the messenger and the message. But it didn't need to go on forever, okay? And apparently, it didn't, because he's telling Timothy, you know, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake, okay? he didn't send him a handkerchief. For Trophimus, he says, I left him in Miletum, sick, okay? He wasn't healing everybody. He didn't heal himself, you know? And the thing is, you know, he's being open about this. And they mention here, he didn't try to act super spiritual. He wasn't pretending to be a healer. He didn't tell him, well, if you're not healed, what's the reason today they say if you're not healed? Put your hand on the TV, and if you're not healed, whose fault is it? Yours. You didn't have enough faith. You know? That'd be a study later on we could have sometime. But Jesus didn't walk up and say, you got enough faith? If I say you're healed? No, he didn't. He just walked up and healed them. Right? Their faith or strong faith, lack of faith, didn't make any difference to Jesus. He simply healed them. Okay? And Paul wasn't doing that. He didn't pretend to be something that he wasn't. And if he's not healing his close friends, this guy's come all the way from Philippi to help minister to his needs. If he's not healing him, who's he saving it for? You know? And so He's saying, be real. Be honest with people. Okay? Don't fake it. Don't try to pretend you're something else, that you're super spiritual. You know, there have been times when I've mentioned something about something I was concerned about, or things weren't working quite right or whatever, and people give me advice and sounds really holy stuff, you know, but I know that's not always the way you operate, and yet I'm supposed to be doing it that way, you know. It's be real, be genuine. We got a problem, say so. And this is, you know, sometimes, what does the Bible say? You have not because you ask not. Okay? It's kind of like, you have not because you won't admit you got a weakness. Okay? And we won't ask for it. Lord, I'm a nervous wreck. Help me. All right? Do you get nervous flying, Sam? Oh, well, I didn't know. I didn't mean to pick on you. But okay, all right. The plane can land itself, but it needs the pilot's help to get up, right? But I mean, you know, we got a problem, Lord. And again, we're not telling the Lord anything that he doesn't already know, but it doesn't hurt to ask somebody else to pray for me. I get anxious, you know. Every time I don't know if it's every time, but often when I go to the doctor for some kind of checkup, and you know, they check your blood pressure, and I'm thinking, I just took this at home, and it was 10 or 15 points lower than what it is right now. maybe I'm cheating. I'll have to ask Bob, but before I'm going to take my blood pressure, I sit down, I relax, maybe 5 minutes, and then I take it. Well, here they call your name. Hey, so, you know, come with me. Get on the scale. Come in here. Sit down. You know, get your arm out. You know, and I wait a minute. Let's relax here a minute. And then take my. But but he says, drop the mask. Okay, don't try to be something you're not. Okay, be transparent. Be honest. And we hear this from the politicians. Oh, it's going to be the. I forgot who said it, if that was Obama or somebody, but this is going to be the most transparent group or whatever, you know, White House or whatever. Yeah, right. No, but hey, run around with a mask on, okay? And the thing is, I like what he says here. he says, let me tell you a secret. Are you ready? Everybody already knows that you're not perfect. Oh, okay, so I don't have to tell you that. You know that, right? You've been hanging around long enough. So we don't have to pretend that we're something other than what we are. We can be honest about it. Now, he also says to be real, then to be complimentary. Now, I think this is something that maybe kind of becomes a habit after a while. But there's an awful lot of people that aren't in that habit. What do you have to notice to be complimentary to people? Unless you're just making up stuff, you know. What are you going to have to notice about somebody to give them a compliment? Right. Yeah, you got to observe and you got to notice something about their life, something they're doing, saying, whatever, that is something you can compliment them on. Okay? You got to be looking for some good in somebody. Yeah. Should it really be that hard? No. Do we have to work at it to find things wrong with people? No, that comes up with neon lights, doesn't it? You know, it's announced, okay? Have you complimented anybody lately? You think back the last few days, maybe it was go a whole week. You know, I realize you don't remember everything you've said, but you remember complimenting anybody about anything? Now, don't just think about it. It's got to be verbalized, okay? Either say it with our lips or you write them a note or, you know, teachers, they're putting smiley faces on the kids' papers that they hand back, whatever, okay? Well, Paul ends up complimenting Epaphroditus. You know, he sends him back, but he doesn't send him back because he flunked. He did a lousy job taking care of Paul, and so he said, go on home. No. Again, he was there and was serving to the point almost of death. Okay? He says, when he gets back, you ought to honor this guy. And he mentions four things. He says, in that portion of scripture here, he says, he called him his brother. He called him a fellow worker. He called him a fellow soldier. So he's recognizing Epaphroditus for who he is, what he was doing. It was a genuine compliment. He wasn't just pulling something out of thin air, you know. I mean, can't you most of the time tell if somebody gives you a genuine compliment or if they're just trying to butter you up for something, you know, because they're going to ask a favor 5 minutes later, you know, can you work my shift? so it needs to be genuine. And he says there in Proverbs 22:11, he that loveth pureness of heart for the grace of his lips. What's grace? God's undeserved favor? Undeserved favor? Okay, so people haven't necessarily worked for it, earned it, deserve it, or whatever, but you're going to demonstrate with your lips a compliment. He says, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. I know I haven't read the whole book. Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. But I'm satisfied there's probably a chapter in there about complimenting other people. Okay? What do you think? Complimenting people, is that going to win friends? What would be the opposite of complimenting somebody? Pardon? Criticize, putting them down, cutting them down. And you guys, some people have got in that kind of a habit, you know. But you never hear anything really good. It's always some snarky remark, you know. And so, you know, you don't have a lot to say back in return, okay. But, so showing or sharing compliments with other people are going to win you friends, help you to keep the friends that you got. They're going to know that there is some worth to you. You're observing their life and they're doing some things right and they appreciate you telling them, hey, you're doing a good job. We won't take time to go around, but how often does that happen at work? Your supervisor comes along, puts his hand on your shoulder. I just wanted to tell you, you've been doing a super job lately. Cardiac arrest, right? Now, usually that doesn't happen, okay? I mean, usually you're catching the the criticism. Sometimes, again, I think they resist giving the compliment. You know, maybe even if it's deserved, some people just can't get it out. And I don't know why this one's flashed in my head. When I worked at UPS, we had these trailers, 40-foot trailers, and some of them was like, I don't know, they even have finger hut stuff around here, little bitty boxes. You know, it's like crafts or something, and they're real lightweight. And you can just grab like this many, you know, all these little boxes, set them on the roller, you know, and the guy out there on the end, he's, you know. And I don't remember if it was the finger hut thing or if it was the other extreme. We'd get these. It was from a publishing house, and it was books. I mean, these things were, you know, 30 pounds a piece or something. And you look over your head, you know, and I was getting buried because the guy in there, he was just hammering me, you know. And this stuff's falling on the floor and everything, and the boss comes by, and, oh, he's rare, you know, and he's giving me fits. And he steps in there, and here, I'll show you how to do it, you know. And he's doing pretty good for a while, but it's catching up with him. And pretty soon, he's got stuff falling all over the floor. I didn't say anything. I just get back in there and help him out. We catch up, you know, and he walks away. But, it, yeah, it's just... there was no compliment there. But just because other people don't do that doesn't mean we ought not to, okay? It might make the difference in us. And we're trying to reach people for the Lord, okay? And one of the things that you can do is to build a relationship with people. Have goodwill, so it's not, oh no, look who's coming, you know, bad news coming. We're the friendly sort, you know, and we have some good things to say to them. And so when we tell them we've got some good news, they might actually stick around and want to hear about it. So he says here, friends, take off the blinders, look for the good things in people's lives. I got a little lesson in this the other day from my 9-year-old granddaughter. Okay, somehow we're talking about gasoline prices. I said, I need to stop and get some gas. I said, it's half empty. She says, Grandpa, you know what they call somebody that says it's half empty? Okay, yeah, well, that's a pessimist, yeah. Well, it could be half full, and then you'd be an optimist. I'm like, oh, I'm getting a lecture here for my 9-year-old. Yeah, well, yeah, there's two ways to look at everything, all right? And so it's saying, look for the good. And I like what he pointed out, you know, talking about your wife, your husband, okay, your kids, your grandkids. He says, I know they do stuff that irritates you. But look at the good in them and compliment them, okay? Look for the good stuff, right? The bad stuff's still going to be there. But, you know, sometimes, well, you know, little kids, sometimes they're naughty just to get attention, you know? And you give them a compliment, they at first may not know quite what to do with it. But, you know, they might begin to want to do things the right way to get a compliment. Oh, well, thank you for helping me pick up all these toys, you know. And so, but if, again, we're just kind of locked into the negative, you know, everybody's lacking. And he says, gracious speech, being able to make friends requires obeying what command? He says, exhort one another daily. Okay, exhort, to encourage, to uplift one another daily while this called today. Okay? So we have a responsibility to help uplift. I look at it this way. The world will do its job knocking us down. Okay? The world will keep us humble. But we ought not to have to be concerned about that coming to church, that, you know, somebody's going to be there to put me in my place, okay? Knock me down a peg or two, right? Now, we ought to be one another's cheerleaders. Again, not blowing smoke, fake stuff at them, but, you know, let them know when they're doing something good. Notice it. I mean, last time you notice it, but we just don't say anything, right? It's not a bad thing to verbalize it, saying, hey, you know, notice what you're doing. Looks really good, you know? I came in the upstairs. Joy, did you decorate down there? Yeah? The other... Oh, that's... Okay. And okay, so... I notice... I like the decorations. Looks bright. Looks festive. You know, we go from brown tables... Man, that's a good thing. You see brown tables, you know, and then you see, oh, we've got green, we've got red, you know, we've got, yeah, you know. I'm glad that part of my job description is decorator. You've seen it. There it is. It's that blue feather stuck in the bow. My first and last attempt at decorating. Okay? All right. So you don't have to compliment me on that blue feather. Okay. But, you know, think about it. We like to be uplifted. We like to be encouraged. And so do people around about us, you know. And if we're, you know, on the positive sides of things, we're thinking about this, making and keeping friends. Maybe with the Lord's help, we can turn some of our behavior around. You know, I don't know what kind of habits you've fallen into. Sometimes, you know, especially this jabbing stuff. I know John Deere, even at Guy Parcel and stuff, it was poke, jab one another all the time. You know, saying something smart and snarky at one another. You know, and that's not going to be a good thing. You know, if make that a New Year's resolution. We drop that and put in something else instead. But anyway, trust that maybe you think about this. Being concerned for one another, it's a good thing. We can demonstrate it. Being consistent. I realize that we're not always rested and happy, and but we ought not to have to have... Need a, I don't know if they still make those. Remember the mood rings? You know, you put them, you check somebody's ring before you say anything to them to know if you're going to get yelled at or not. But to be consistent, you know, be real, be genuine. Don't be afraid to compliment people. They will enjoy it. Let me see if I have one other little thing here. Oh, honor, where honor is due. The world honors those who are intelligent, beautiful, rich, and powerful. What kind of people should the church honor? Epaphroditus was called a brother, a fellow worker, a fellow soldier, and a messenger. These are emblems of honor. Paul indicates that we should honor those who risk their lives for the sake of Christ and care for others. Going where we cannot go ourselves. Our missionaries do that for us by providing ministry where we're not able to go. And I don't know who comes to mind when I think of that. Or in our one missionary who goes over borders, potential getting locked up one of these days. But he doesn't just stay home where it's safe. He seeks to be used to the Lord wherever he can be used and trust the Lord to watch over and care for him. And sometimes it's struggles that we don't even think about. I was changing emails back and forth a little bit with our missionaries, the Bowmans in England. You know, and they're retired, but they're keeping on doing what they're doing, so we continue to support them. But he wrote back the other day, he says, we got 5 inches of snow. That's no big deal around here. But I was there for 3 years, and I never saw 5 inches. They could probably add it all that we got, and it wouldn't have been 5 inches. And he says, and they don't clear. Nobody's got snow shovel to clear the walk paths or nothing. And he says it makes it real challenging because his wife, Paula, is in a wheelchair. And so you're trying to, you know, go over the snow piles and get to the car and back. And so, you know, you don't think about that, you know, but everybody's got their own struggles, you know. And so keep praying for one another. And maybe that's something else we think about doing is dropping a missionary a note. You know, I think the emails are in the phone book, or if you need one, we could get it to you. But send them a note. Let them know you're thinking about them, praying for them. And, you know, we can be a long way apart physically, but we don't have to be that way otherwise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Very practical lesson here tonight, and I sure there's books written on making and keeping friends, but even in this passage here, we see four different areas that something that we can put to use in our own lives that might help us with our friendships and making and keeping friends. Help us to seek to be an encouragement to those around about us. And you might be surprised how the Lord can use us just to come alongside somebody else, encourage them. And it may not take that much from us either. Just a few encouraging words can make a difference in somebody else's life. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you for coming. Remember, 9:15 for the children's thing up here. And you need to have dropped off the food downstairs before you come up. So, okay. Emma, you're on display. You have to. Is it orthodontist? Orthodontist give you cards to hand out and say, "Here's my work. You know, come and see me."
That's good.
Thank you.